Call the meeting to order, please. The first item on the agenda is House Bill 788. We had an informal meeting on the bill here last night with Mr. McMurphy, the Alaska Rural Teacher Training Program. And while Clark's not here right now, our discussions last night, Bill and I and Clark and Elma came to the conclusion that probably the best thing to do with this bill was to report the bill out, although there's no reason it couldn't be included in the budget as a line item. We wanted to see what the fate of House Bill 760 was before we committed ourselves to that question.
This morning.
So. We need a motion on the bill.
I'm going to refer it out unless you have this consent.
Okay, House Bill 788, which is the $87,000 appropriation to Alaska Rural Teacher Training Corps. I have a motion to report the bill out, unanimous consent, and ask for discussion on the motion. No objection, motion adopted. How many do passes on the legislation? Majority do pass.
Yeah, we had a.
I was sitting downstairs.
Well. We didn't have a deal on that. Just for hearing the motion. The next item on the agenda is House Bill 695, which is a supplemental appropriation to highways. On this legislation and the highway program in general, I've got, I don't know if the copies are in your bill file. Not mine. But at any rate, the critical part of House Bill 695 is the state general matching funds. The plan on it is of $11.7 million. The plan on it is to reimburse the general fund from bond proceeds, bonds authorized for the purpose this next November. And we have part here. We'll have the copies of the copies of being made and be held.
Chairman, yes, Mr. Shumway and I are here to answer any further questions in addition to the answers we gave you in writing. As of March 1st, we'll be down to $10 million, which in our cash flow is pretty well scraping the bottom of the barrel and puts us in a position where we simply cannot go forward with our bid advertising in the manner we'd like to in the spring. If we can put it out to the contractors early and give them plenty of time to respond, we'll have to get our best bids in that manner. We're at that point right now.
Okay, earlier in our discussions on the legislation, the committee examined the relationship of the highway program to the appropriations. And I think that our conclusion was that that the relationship was somewhat mystical. But also, in examining the statutes and so forth on highways, I don't think that we can approach the problem through this appropriation, again pending the outcome of House Bill 760. And also a proper concept for the appropriation, as well as not knowing what the outcome is yet on the bill regarding the Department of Transportation.
Mr. Chairman, as the pointed out in our previous submissions, the $11 million cash flow is incurred over the 74, 75, 76 construction seasons because there was a greater influx of federal dollars into the state than was anticipated when the last bond issue was let. And those federal dollars were appropriated by the legislature to be expended. We are now at the point where we do have $45 million in federal funds which are available between now and June 30th, between now and the end of the fiscal year. If there is no state matching for those funds, they, of course, will not be spent during that period, and there can be no construction program during that period, which in essence, if we begin the state construction program on July 1st, why begin advertising bids, that will in effect wipe out one total construction season. Right now, we have told the federal government and the Congress that the state of Alaska is in a perilous situation in its transportation because of highway impact. This has been recognized, and the Senate has passed a $70 million appropriation for front-end money for the state of Alaska on energy programs. This is probably the most significant legislation in many ways which has been passed by the Congress affecting this state, because it does set a pattern for front-end monies for other energy programs as well, the Continental Shelf and others, if they become necessary. If we do not match our federal highway funds that we receive regularly in the appropriation, it is going to be impossible for anybody from the administration to make a case to any congressional committee that we should receive impact monies of any kind. And that is the position that the administration is in on these bills. If the $70 million, which is before the House of Representatives right now, is money which would come through as the bill is now written without requiring a state match, but as you can see, you're in a somewhat impossible situation if you don't use those funds which do require a state match. But if the last bond issue had estimated federal revenues would be available more correctly, we wouldn't be in this bind. We would still have the state revenues available. The two didn't match, and there's always going to be somewhat of a problem here, because it's impossible for the department to outguess what the Congress is going to do until the highway bills are passed. Since you're dealing in large amounts of money, why, the difference in estimates is sometimes going to be in the nature of what is before you in House Bill 695, which is $45 million in federal funds, more, $45 million in federal funds was received over that three-year period that was not anticipated. Will have a severe effect, of course, upon all the programs, because the marine transportation system is more and more supported out of the Highway Trust Fund, and it will be impossible for marine transportation to maintain the fleet and being for the next 5 years without substantial contributions from the Trust Fund, just to keep them afloat, modernized.
Okay, but the federal funds that are noted in the bill, well, those would be for the highway program through fiscal 76, right? Is that right, or would they extend, possibly some of those monies extend beyond that time?
No, the federal funds are through June 30th, Mr. Chairman. Our funding for fiscal year 77 is incorporated in the capital budget, which was submitted with this year's budget. The state funding, the state match, is intended, however, to take us through until such time as the bonding becomes available. That is intended to match anticipated federal revenues through the entire construction season this year, because of course state bonds will not become available until November or December at the very earliest, assuming the bond issue passes. And one other thing, Mr. Chairman, if the House of Representatives acts timely on the $70 million bill in the Congress, and we get what is anticipated in our regular highway authorization, we are going to be facing the very largest construction season we've ever had on a magnitude of at least 50% greater than any previous construction season, the department is going to be stretched very thin, and the only way we can maximize our efficiency is getting a reasonably early start on it. Otherwise, if we try to concentrate all the work in one period, why, it either doesn't get done or we have to go hire more people to do it. So to use our people most efficiently, why, we need to need to spread it out over the spring. And get going right now, Ray?
Mr. Parker made one point, is that now is a prime opportune time to advertise projects. This is illustrated by, we opened 3 bids last Thursday. We received more interest and better unit prices from any project than we've had probably for the last 9 months. And from discussions with the various contractor, it indicates that if we wait until spring, where most of the contractor forces are already obligating other work, then our unit prices are going to go up, and it's going to cost us considerably more to accomplish the work. So this was illustrated last Thursday by bids which come in about from 20 to 35 to 40% lower than the estimate.
Okay, but the $11.7 million is basically, you sort of look on it as a loan from the general fund that would be reimbursed.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we put the budget together on that basis originally when we gave it to the Budget Review Committee originally, and those were incorporated in our original bond submission for $43 million for matching funds plus the additional monies for local service roads and trails, whatever is approved there, which at present is, I believe, is $8 million. At the, or 16 million was what the House State Affairs set up. And we haven't really testified before your committee on the whole bond package. But that $11 million is in the $43 million in federal and federal matching funds.
But in this appropriation here, we're just talking about the federal aid system.
Exactly.
And we're not talking about local roads.
No, not at all.
Make a comment on that last question. It does also include off-system roads, which is federally funded.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not on the system.
Oh.
It does include off-system, which is federal funded.
But none of the funds would be expended in areas where there was, that were not in connection with the federal highway program.
It's
except for the off-system projects, which are intent of the off-system monies, is that they can be expended on roads which are not part of the primary and secondary system.
Any questions, Chief?
For an example, we opened one last week under our off-system program, but using federal aid money was Clatt Road in Fairbanks.
In Anchorage.
In Anchorage.
No. Clatt, there's Clatt and Platt, both.
Yeah.
We opened the one in Fairbanks, which was Clatt, getting up by young man.
Clatt, yeah.
We opened that one. That's using off, it's an off-system project, but it's used, federal aid money.
Yeah, I got it, yeah. Little problem with that particular project.
Okay. What I'd like to do with our other discussions on legislation, we examine the other legislation pertaining to the Department of Highways. What I'd like to do with this legislation, that it means wishes with the committee, is to report out the bill.
Chairman, maybe we could, just by way of observation, there are a couple of things that I would like to check out in the context of that bill. And I think I could do it within a day or so.
Okay. What is, let me ask, what is the point at which you're going to be in a serious problem if you don't have the legislation? In other words, we've done quite a bit of research on the legislation, Walt, and I think that probably when it goes to the Senate, they'll have that available, be more or less sort of an upper in there. They can handle it pretty quickly.
Mr. Chairman, as of March 1st, we were down to our last 10 million, and we're in effect in a holding pattern now, awaiting the legislation. And we'll just continue to go ahead and do our normal project development, but we will not be able to advertise. Do you plan on advertising anything else until we get this ready? I don't see how we can, unless it's maybe a very small project.
At least two of the projects that we're ready to advertise would utilize the bulk of that fund, so we'd have to select which one.
Yeah.
I just assume that we pass the funding and go ahead with normal advertising rather than start picking projects which ones are going to go and which ones are not. But we are, within 2 weeks' time, we're really definitely in a holding pattern, no more projects.
Okay, Steve, you say you can check this out in a day or two?
Yeah.
Definitely have it checked out by Monday morning?
Yeah.
One other thing, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Monday and Tuesday will be the last days when I will be available to the committee as Commissioner of Highways, so I'm primarily responsible for the development of this program and probably answer any of your broad policy aspects far better than the Mr. Skugel, who will be acting during the interim period until some decision is made on the DOT bill. So if you want to talk to me on it, why don't it be Monday or Tuesday?
Okay. I would anticipate a committee action on the bill before Tuesday.
Yeah.
At Monday morning. OK.
Jake.
Can I ask a couple questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, where do we, how do we stand in the national, or the, you know, the configuration of the highway fuel tax? What is our tax, 8 cents now?
We're at 8 cents, we're starting to be in the lower ranges of the states, several of whom upgraded their fuel taxes last year. A 2 cent increase would put us back in the, right back in the middle. A 4 cent increase would put us up in those states who are taxing at the top. We've got quite a bit of information on state taxes.
What does 1 cent yield in the way of dollars?
1 cent increase is about 4 million, is it not, Frank?
Between 3 and 4.
Yeah. It's probably closer to 4 million now. The state revenues from the fuel tax have been going up very steeply as a result of a general increase in activity in Alyeska project. It's unfortunate that so much of the Alyeska project was able to operate as a on a non-taxable basis. If we'd been able to tax that whole project on the fuel, why we'd have
well, we got about $4 million a year running out there, don't we? Or the refund?
I don't follow you, Mr. Chairman.
That's on off highway.
Right. Yeah.
Refunds.
Yeah, it's about $4 million now.
Good God, if we'd have had that money, we had a Donnybrook here about 4 years ago, just before that started.
The ironic thing about that, to me, Ernie, and this is an aside, is that if we collected the tax, we have it. We're collecting receipts under agreements, we're going to be charged into the pipeline costs at some point. We've got to be. And the tax is a direct expense, the other is under capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
On this 1970 maintenance, you have $550,000 left in that fund. You've got, what do you got here? Remaining in the 74. Jesus Christ, getting blind too. You still have 11.5 million of that 22 left. Are you going to sell those bonds this summer, this season?
Chairman,
authorization on issued remaining. We just sold $10.5 million, apparently, in this last bond issue sale.
Yeah, I believe those include LSR&T bonds, and those aren't being sold at a rapid rate. All of the bonds are only being sold right as they're needed.
I see.
The program.
But you wouldn't sell any until the next bond sale. I mean, that would just, assuming you were, you would. Well, you'd be 68, 90 days away. I guess they don't go to market more than 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. I see.
Well, so in the meantime, what would you do? Just the money would just be expended from the general fund if you had to draw it before the sale.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. That Commissioner of Revenue makes his adjustments there, and with the bond committee to. Keep his cash flow straight and readjust to those.
Okay, well, are there other questions? Okay, I think it's fair to say that the committee appreciates the urgency of the appropriation, and I would expect we'll have action on the thing. Not later than Monday morning, and I thank you for all the information and help you supplied on this question and the general question on highway construction program and planning costs in the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and would you want us back Monday morning? Or?
I don't think so. I don't anticipate we're going to increase or reduce the appropriation.
Okay, well, I'll be available all day Monday or Tuesday.
If we have some sort of a problem come up, I'll. Okay.
It's not something you can go and find set up in Anchorage, or set up in Anchorage, any one place. It's, it extends across the state and is organized on the basis of the interest and also the needs that are expressed in different areas of the state on an annual basis. And they provide, as I get it, basically, really two types of education. Clark might elaborate. But one is the teacher certification, and the other is, what's the proper word for it?
Teacher certification, is that the...
Extra education that they have to take in order to, but they improve their certificate, I forget what they...
Well, it's, yeah, it's, I think they also have continuing education too.
And continuing education. And, but for instance, under the program in a rural area, in YAL wants to extend it, for instance, a person with a, that is a high school graduate, could enter the program and over a period of time, depending on what they were working on in their own abilities, but over a period of time, say 5 or 6 years in their local community, could qualify for a teaching certificate to teach certain courses in the state school system. And the idea is to provide the teacher resource in the outlying areas, people that are part of the community and are interested in staying there. They've had a pretty good success rate. The cost of the program, if you analyze it on a
full-time student basis, is less than what it costs them to go to university.
Oh yeah, it. But that's mainly because they don't have, they practically no investment in the plant. They don't have any consultants. The money goes into it. Instructional, their costs are higher, their instructional costs are higher than the university, but the total cost of the program.
Well, this is that ARDEC program, isn't it?
Pardon? Yeah.
ARDEC? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not many years ago, they were violently opposed to that.
Well, the university is not, I guess as I get it, isn't as happy with it as they could be because they don't have as much control over it as they do over their, the rest of their programs. It's managed by a separate board, and I, as I also get it, because there's been some fostering the program both by the legislature and by the
Department of Education,
and also by the people themselves in rural areas, the university's never really jumped in and said they were going to run it. They haven't had the nerve to do that. Probably good
so
we get the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, logically, it should be under the university.
It should be, but the fear is that if it goes under the university, it becomes so highly institutionalized and no longer meet the needs.
Well, can they hold a certificate on state standards?
Oh, yes.
Completing that
yes.
program?
That, that's the basic idea of the program.
We got a list of graduates.
We got a whole lot of information.
Yeah, that's all right. Don't dig it out. I wasn't here.
Also, for your information, Ernie, we got all that stuff on the bond issues and the that were appropriated for rural school construction and so forth. I'm not going to have it copied. Glenn has it. It makes a book about that thick. A breakdown of everything. Contingency funds. Extended, unextended balances, how much went into each project, except and what went for. But it makes a book that thick. And
I like the book that thick.
Glenn has it. Well, we better get on to our next items on the agenda. House Bill 663 and 653.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Let me get your
House Bill 659 is, a bill by the governor relating to the Alaska National Guard Naval Militia reenlistment bonus. And 663 relates to educational assistance for the same agencies. And we also have someone here to speak on the legislation.
Let's see if there's any reports there. 663 came out of State Affairs with unanimous due pass recommendation by all seven members of the committee. Mike Byrne, Wallace, Helen Byrne, Fisher, Parker, Kelly McKinnon. Same for 659.
History of the Dolan House up to now. The bills in the House.
Yes, sir. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Ray Holmson with the Alaska National Guard from Anchorage, and with me is my associate Captain Martin, who is with our office down here in Juneau. I'll just take a few moments of your time to outline the background behind 659 and 663. These essentially are update legislation. We have in existence right now in statute since 1971 a reenlistment bonus program and an educational assistance program. I would like to chat about the reenlistment program first. It is operational and ongoing with about 400 to 500 recipients a year. We have a state strength of 2,600 people, counting the Army and Air National Guard, spread throughout 70 locations throughout the state. 80% of the recipients of the reenlistment bonus are in our two Eskimo Scout Battalions out in on the periphery. The Eskimo Scout Battalions comprise about 50% of the Army National Guard strength. The reenlistment bonus program has been effective, but it has had some weaknesses inherent in the original writing of the law. And this proposed bill, 659, is designed to update our legislation to accommodate the requirements that exist in 1976, right now. For instance, when the law was written in 1971 and passed, we did not have females in the National Guard. We do now have females in the National Guard, approximately 120 to 130, and the law precludes, because of the way it was originally written, precludes females from receiving the reenlistment bonus because they are not eligible under the they don't qualify under the Military Collective Service Act, and that was one of the qualifiers the way the law is originally written. So that has to be changed. There's also a discrepancy in when it was originally written to where it only paid a reenlistment bonus to those people who finish their 6 years with the Alaska National Guard. And we went for an Attorney General's opinion on this, and the Attorney General determined that personnel who did not finish at least a portion of their initial 6 years in the Alaska National Guard would not be eligible for the reenlistment bonus, which means we have personnel on board right now who finished 10 years, let's say, for instance, over 6 years, they finished 7, 8, 10 years of active duty, and they seek discharge from active duty in the Army or the Air Force, and they join the National Guard. Under the way the law is written right now, they do not receive a reenlistment bonus. It's because of the wording of the law and the Attorney General's opinion. It's not fair to these
men and women who do actually re-enlist. We want to promote men and women who have active duty experience to come into the Guard. If I may say, it's a sandpaper item for these personnel. They look in the ranks and they see other people receiving the bonus or re-enlisting, but they themselves, highly skilled, highly qualified military technicians, do not receive the bonus. So this bill addresses that fact, and it also adds a statement in there to firm up that which the way the department is operating right now, is that payment of the bonus is contingent upon the member satisfactorily participating in unit training activities. In other words, in order to be eligible for the bonus, he must perform 90% of his assembly. We are operating that way right now, but we want to firm it up in statute. We have a fiscal note attached with it. Right now, the current law cost the state of Alaska $115,000, we estimate, in fiscal year 77. And the proposed impact of adding approximately 400 to 450 people as recipients of the re-enlistment bonus would be $86,000, for a grand total of $201,000 for fiscal year 77. One thing I'm sure that was pointed out in the past budget hearings to all the committees in the legislature is the fact that the Guard program is a relatively inexpensive program for considering the federal-state ratio. The federal brings in approximately $14 to $15 million into the state economy for an expenditure of about $2 million by the state in support of the National Guard program. So we have about a 92 or 93 to 7 federal-state funding ratio. So this is designed as a retention incentive measure. And if I may take a second to address why, you know, we need this. Right now the military in the all-volunteer environment is continually needing increased incentives to re-enlist. We are, but only those people with less than 20 years service in the active forces come into the Guard to finish out their 20-year retirement. So now the reason for in line 15 where we put extends and enlistment is simply an adjustment to the two terminologies that occur between the Army and the Air Force. In the Army National Guard, when a man, you know, goes another year, he extends. In the Air Force, they call it a re-enlistment. So we wanted to clarify and bring into the joint service terminology here, just to cover every contingency, a re-enlistment and extension. It's just a difference in terminology between the Army and the Air Force. And we have both services.
How many people do you have now in the National Guard who are in that category, who have joined in after they had served?
We have approximately 60%, between 50 and 60% are active duty veterans. And we're kind of pleased with that because we get a good mix that way. We get some good experience coming on board. About 30 to 35% of combat veterans, especially from the Vietnam era. We picked up many of the people coming off of active duty. The statement in line 19 about the end of each qualifying year and payable at that time, that's to clarify another discrepancy in the current law where our men have to re-enlist every year, conduct a re-enlistment processing every year in order to receive the benefits at the grade that they are that year. And now we want to allow it to extend for 10 years if they like, and be paid at their promotion grade when they get promoted up. We sincerely, this is one of the department's priority bills in the retention incentive or realignment incentive program, because it does have an impact on morale amongst the members that should qualify for realignment bonus but do not, and especially in the one major instance is the female category. We've got to address that. It's a very high priority.
Thank you. Are there other questions? What does the committee want to do with 659?
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent to report out House Bill 659.
Okay. The motion to report the bill out. Discussion on the motion. Objection to the motion. No objection. The motion's adopted. Will the secretary please circulate the bill report? How many new passes do we have on the bill? Okay. On this legislation, since we require a revised fiscal note from Department of Military Affairs, we will sign the bill report, but the bill will not go to the clerk's desk until we have the revised fiscal note in our files here. And, let's go on to House Bill 663.
Ed? Okay. Did you say
that? Oh, the Educational Assistance Program, House Bill 663.
Our educational assistance program, this bill, is a replacement bill for a current program that is in statute right now, but is very, very unwieldy and very, very, could be very, very expensive to the state. In fact, in 1971, the current educational assistance program was passed. It had benefits to pay exactly like the VA. Now, the VA costs have gone up and up and up and up, and they've become extremely expensive. For instance, a man with going to school with 12 credit hours, which they can take at night, they don't have to, they'd still be called full-time, would receive, with a wife and two children, would receive benefits of $300 to $350 a month. Well, back in 1971 was the only year that our current educational assistance program was funded. And then the state came into the dollar crunch and it was just not funded anymore. And we looked at it, and the legislature looked at it, especially in the fact that it would cost $7,000 to $8,000, and now in 75, $10,000 a person to support them through a four-year college program under the way the law is written. For instance, to carry 250 personnel in the educational assistance program as it is written right now would cost the state of Alaska approximately $500,000, which is about 25% of the Department of Military Affairs budget. It's completely out of proportion. So recognizing the cost, the ultra cost of the program, as it exists right now, it hasn't been funded. Nobody's been, it's an inoperable program. So we proposed the 663, which is an alternate. And you can see it's very much least cost. It's a $48,000 cost for fiscal year 77. It's based on the fact that the Department of Military Affairs will pay 50% of the tuition fees at any of the Alaskan educational institutions for each member of the active National Guard, or active member of the Guard. It is patterned after other successful state educational assistance programs. A similar law like this right now exists in Idaho, the Idaho National Guard, the Nebraska National Guard, and the Nevada National Guard. Now, follow us along here. In 71, we passed the first educational assistance bill. The other states took a look at it, and they said, wow, that's expensive, but we will adopt something. So they adopted this 50% tuition fee. What this provides is a recruitment incentive and a retention incentive. Minor, a small amount. We're helping the young man and the young woman on his way into school through his membership in the Guard. It's 50% of the tuition fees, which is $80 a semester that we would pay a member of the Guard going to school. I estimated 200 participants in this program out of our state strength of 2,600. It is what we feel a good alternative to provide some type of educational assistance to our members, which again is a viable experience factor for educational assistance as a promoter of recruitment and retention. We actually serve to recruit many people based on that VA bill.
Questions from the committee? Representative Buckholz.
When you said that there are 2,600 members of the National Guard now, and earlier you stated that there were 80% of that of the Eskimo Battalion?
No, we have 50%.
Okay.
Well, about 40%, yes.
Okay, 40%. And
well, 80% of the recipients of the reenlistment bonus
are Eskimo. Oh, 80%. How many of those are enrolled in this kind of program?
This would not have too much of an effect out into the mm-hmm. rural Alaska because of the educational benefits that the, mm-hmm. the recipients and the people already receive through grants and what have you. Mm-hmm. And the percentage of the population is just that are going to school out in the villages, and college, is minimal compared to the urban areas. But it would have an effect in Bethel, in Nome, I guess wherever they have a community college. Like that.
Are you encouraging your Eskimo scouts to participate in this program?
Have yes, ma'am. They would be completely eligible for the program.
They are eligible, but are you putting out the word that they could participate?
Well, we have not put out the word about the other program because of no funds. Yeah, we've just kind of declared it dead program. We didn't want to get anybody excited. We got a whole bunch of people excited in 71, and we didn't have the funds to follow through. We figured we better just...
This will take that other program off the books, too, won't it?
Yeah.
Off
the
box.
Right.
Yes, yeah. It does. There's a repeal in Section 2 of the bill.
Right.
We encourage completely, and I'm sure in your experience with the rural Alaska, the National Guard educational program, On the military side, the federal, when we send the people out to school to Fort Ord and Fort Benning and Fort Sam Jackson, and we have a continuing military educational program that we're always fostering, and which this would be tied right to. You know, we at the time we're advertising our we're also talking about this is an advantage of Guard membership. Did I answer your question?
Yes, I think so.
On this program, it says the Adjutant General may authorize a payment. Now, is it the option of the member to select their educational course, or is it the option of the Adjutant General?
And the member.
The reason it was put may is because I think we were going to have a total amount that we could use, and if 200 people applied and used that total amount, and then another person applied and we didn't have any money left, you only funded so much.
I understand that, but it also, the discretion in there would mean that it seems to me there's a possibility, the way the law is written, that certainly not the present Adjutant General, but some other one might say, well, I just don't like the courses that these people are taking. I've got my guardsmen taking macrame courses or something, and I'm not gonna sign anything for that.
The state affair, it is a very good question,
that you asked me, sir. The state affairs aggressive. And what, if you have will be paid, you would have a, the department coming back for a supplemental appropriation if we had 201 students. Okay. And for, based on our experience in our, with our previous educational assistance bill, when we had 75 applicants and we could only afford, we only had $20,000 in the program and we can only pay 20 of them, the terminology may became very advantageous to the state of Alaska because it would have been deluged with a tremendous amount of obligations, extremely costly.
Another approach could be to authorize proration when
That'd be another approach.
We go up to the amount of the budget or something. We could have changed it.
The department does not have any tremendous feel which one way or the other is to go may or will.
Well, I can see the problem with putting an unqualified unqualified language in the bill. At the same time, if the program's being established as a benefit for the active members, and as long as it requires the member to participate satisfactorily in unit training activities, I would think that they ought to be able to, you know, select the benefit in the form that they thought was most advantageous to them, to the extent that the benefit's available.
If you were to look at it from the point that we are creating legislation here that would benefit our personnel, the will is a very apropos statement.
Well, that could create a problem. I think we need qualifying language here. Myself, I do. I don't know how the other members of the committee feel about that question.
This pro rata suggestion is a good suggestion if we knew how many students were enrolling throughout the year. However, we have the problem of semesters and quarters and then vocational training and items like that, to where we would eventually, we wouldn't know how many people were enrolling until the end of the year. So you generally speaking have to take a blanket amount of money and spend it till it's gone.
Right. Well, that's
like
the most practical way of running it.
Right. The student education loan program works. Go until they run out of money.
Well, they pro right there.
There, right? Mm.
But I don't think it's the best way of doing it, because when you prorate, then the tendency is not to set your factor for prorating until you know what your applications are, and then everybody's standing around waiting to find out what the percentage is, and to find out they've got to raise more money someplace else or whatever. Of course, it's a much bigger program than this would be. I'd like to suggest an amendment to the legislation. Line 11 of the bill, where the word may appears, after the word general, for purposes of discussion, words shall, comma, to the extent funds are available, comma, authorize the payment. So it would read, the adjutant general shall, comma, to the extent funds are available, comma, authorize the payment. That's clumsy language, but of not more than 50%, etc. I've got the verb split there, which isn't a good way of writing it.
But the intent is to allow proration when.
Well, that's not my suggestion, no.
Well, I mean, what's the alternative?
The alternative is that when they run out of funds, they run out of funds, and.
First come, first served,
and then when if they need more money, they will just have to
that's the end of the funding for that year. The next year, they put in the budget the fact that their enrollment is picked up or their applications are picked up, and that if they're gonna continue the program at 100%, they need more money.
The department concurs in that.
So to keep it from being clumsy language with a split verb, it'd probably be better to write the qualifier in the beginning of that sentence and just say to the extent funds are available, mm-hmm. the adjutant general shall authorize.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I'd like to make that a formal motion. Objection from the members of the committee? Okay, no objection, the amendment's adopted. Other discussion on the legislation?
Yeah, may I ask, you stated earlier, that you send out some of the scouts to other parts of the state, and you mentioned that they also needed their training that way. And on line 14, it says that they have to get their education, vocational and technical training school in Alaska. So what were you saying then?
Well, we have two programs within the National Guard. We have a federal military program funded, which utilizes regular Army training installation. Just as if they went down the Army recruiting station and signed on with the Army, they get the same training as the Army, except they come back home and perform their service at home rather than 2 to 4 years out at another site. So that's our education program is twofold. One, our main thrust is in military skill, which also can tie into civilian skills, mechanics, cooks, what have you, clerical work. This program addresses a civilian assist. For being a member of the National Guard, we will assist you, or the state will foster your enrollment in civilian school, too.
Matt, it has to be taken in Alaska, any of the
This one has to. This one, yes, ma'am.
Well, it requires
because of the funding and the control.
Also requires a member to continue to participate
in the Alaska National Guard
and military duties.
Right. So we could not have a student going to the University of Washington, for instance, and have him still as a member of the Alaska National Guard. So that's why it's contained within the state.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I'd move that we report out a House Finance substitute for House Bill 663.
Okay, Mr. Green moves and asks unanimous consent to report out Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 663, incorporating the amendment adopted by the committee.
Correct.
Discussion on the motion. Objection to the motion. No objection, the motion's adopted. Will the Secretary please circulate the bill report? Thank you very much for coming to testify on the legislation.
All the support that you give the guide. Well, it depends on their skill. If they've taken the medical, then all that first for you, they go to the same routine. If they take, track vehicle mechanics, or regional vehicle mechanics, they go to
courthouse.
I like to go see it too, but I don't have time to watch one.
Been under water for 20 minutes.
Okay, two things. Well, first is this resolution. I just want to get it out of committee. We'll call a meeting to order. Ernie had the resolution drafted for introduction by the House Finance Committee to request the committee. It's HGR 57. And it resolves that the legislature asks Congress to provide funding at the authorized level for the Rivers and Harbors Act, and that due to rising construction costs, the existing authorization of $1 million for individual projects be increased to $2 million. I'd like to get that out of committee, so I accept at this time a motion to report out House Track Resolution 57. Okay, Mr. Hogan moves and asks unanimous consent to report the bill out. No objection, the motion is adopted. How many new passes on the bill? Majority new pass. Circulate the bill report. I'm sorry. The other item on the agenda is that I don't know where people are with their subcommittee work, but I know that you're not done. And it's going to cause me some problems with everybody, but decided to extend the date of when we start closing the budget till the end of next week. And leave the calendar open all week so you can work on it.
No morning meetings either?
We've got one, we're set for one on Monday that I can't get out of. But Monday morning is the only one that I'm going to schedule.
Okay, because the afternoon, it's just, you know, I haven't been able to attend any of the other subcommittees I'm on at all.
I know. And
and nobody has been attending mine.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to attend Clark Reading subcommittee meetings. I'm a member of his committee. If we could work out a schedule like we did last year, I think that maybe I could, I'd like to recommend that all the chairmen get together.
Well,
maybe
okay, we're going to meet tomorrow, so following the meeting tomorrow, which I'm going to try to keep the agenda as light as possible, we can talk some of these things over and be a good time to do it. Ernie?
I have a suggestion to offer. You know, your subcommittee has only three or four members. If they could arrange to work the time that we normally go down to the floor, you could get in 2 hours, you know. You would switch them around that way, it would help like heck.
I'll see if we can work something out on it. I don't know.
We used to do that. I mean, they always knew where you were.
Another thing, to the extent that more than one person is participating in a subcommittee, you know, there's no reason the subcommittee chairman can't assign them one or two programs in the budget to review themselves. If it's something that's not going to require a lot of, you know, detailed work, but that's, you know, an option. But that's the only thing that I can think of to do, and leave it open, but we're going to have to be ready to go at the end of the week. So we'll talk about it some more tomorrow, but.
We will close the budget next weekend, over the weekend?
We'll see where we are on next Friday. I'd like to start closing it Saturday. If we can't do that, then Monday. 15th. Okay, if anybody has any bills they want on the agenda for tomorrow, please talk to me after the meeting. No objection, this meeting's adjourned.
I got a question. Well, I will ask you later.